Prasidele, we're going to recite generate of bodhicitta, the three excellency, three elements or three methods it make ordinary activities become a path to enlightenment or become spring. And that means like three excellency normally normal activities, you can say with these three elements, you are on the path into enlightenment. First one is the attitude. Attitude is important from Mahayana, especially Mahayana practice. Some people may have some traditions more focusing on the body and speech, activity of body and speech, as long as you act according law or ethics rules, then it should be okay. But not asking about your own mental state and motivation. These also these practice also exist in Buddhist tradition. Of course, it's mind is essential, important, but as a social behavior, they are more looking at your actions. Some people say, "Oh, mind, what's your attitude? It doesn't matter, as long as you obey the law and follow the rules." So you don't know, you cannot read others' mind, so you cannot judge others by just kind of a preoccupied prediction or judgment. But in my own tradition, it's important to always to check our own motivation. Motivation is a key to drive body and speech. That motivation talks about the virtues. We are talking about the main forces to do things from the aspiration and motivation. So motivation is important. And even motivation is more important than what the kind of the physical and the verbal discipline, self-discipline, value of self-discipline in those two. So motivation also, when we say, it's not like something you can suddenly put in high, and motivation is your own kind of world view and your belief. So, but even view or beliefs, you can, through study, contemplation, and meditation, you can make your mind kind of wide, more compassion, compassionate, become more compassionate mind. You have a more aspiration to kind of benefit sentient beings. You have a higher goal of achievement of your kind of attainment, attainment, full enlightenment. These are kind of not always there, maybe, but for some people, they have a more existed these aspirations. For some people, it's a kind of shifting from worldly gain, worldly kind of a concern, with the more kind of deep and wide aspirations. If you are any kind of situation, you can always try to remind yourself before any practice, in the morning or in the beginning of some section of study and practice, meditation, you always raise your mind and check your own motivation and make motivation more proper and a full kind of a potential to achieve reaching a full enlightenment in order to help all sentient beings. In Mahayana, generally we can say we have four immeasurable mind or immeasurable condition. That is the compassion, loving kindness, compassion, and rejoice, and we can say some degree of impartialment of compassion or equanimity, immeasurable equanimity, immeasurable rejoice, immeasurable loving kindness, immeasurable compassion. So it's these four aspirations, is the kind of a path to reach enlightenment, full enlightenment, because we have many motivation to practice Dharma and study Buddha Dharma. So generally we have saying for some people it's just a pure kind of interesting. They wanted to study literature, poetry, it's same. Just want to study from philosophical point of view, wanted to know more. Or it's just another section of knowledge. You can expand your understanding of things. It's not much motivation other than that. For some people, it's kind of important know how to be and how to do it. You can live a life, and then they want to become a virtuous person. And then if you you are planting seeds, then you're more virtuous. Kind of you become more happier. You will be. So that kind of understanding from causality, and the more you are disciplined, you have less trouble. You have a more kind of studies, you have more insights, you have more meditation, you have more stability in your mind. So similarly, if you have a more aspiration, then you have a you can fulfill your aspiration by kind of keeping your aspiration, and then the aspiration in action. So in these levels, some people concerned about this life, what life trouble I have, or I just want to maintain this life peaceful and less fear and trouble, these kind of motivation. For some people, they're concerned about not only life in self, but also small circle. Some people, concerned people, if some people think about you or think about them, it's like that. If somebody don't care about you, you may not care about them. Some people hate you, you kind of have a negative attitude towards them. Some people also have a life continuation of a rebirth. And so, life after life, this understanding for them, it's important to kind of prepare not only for this life, you're always preparing something for today, tomorrow, next year, or when you are young, you are preparing for your middle age and retirement, even old age. For other people, they don't have any plan to or preparation towards their own life after this life. But some people do. And some people even think I should be kind of a continuing human form of life again. This is their strongest kind of a wish. And also for some people have a more understanding about different space and realms and different existence of beings, form of beings, then they even kind of are not satisfied by just having a human vessel, but wanted to attain another Arya or the godly kind of a form. These levels that consider as a worldly dharma, at least, yes, it's a worldly dharma, but it's a kind of a human and devas, like a human and a god existed realm. They want to kind of continue this life in those realms. If it's a higher, it's better, like that kind of wish. So that is not a Mahayana practitioners should be kind of stay in or those levels. You can, of course, these wishes are, it's not a kind of a sinful or anything like that. It's a virtuous, but it's a limited kind of a and the self kind of a centered wish. For some people, even thinking about the beyond of this samsara, tend to nirvana, completely kind of a liberate from cyclic existence, samsara, then they know how to do it, like through understand mind and how mind engage with phenomena and what is body kind of condition. It's important to know your body and mind, how does it collaborate and works and meet and part. So then they dedicate to do kind of a practice of a meditation eliminate rough kind of emotions and also subtle emotions are too important. The mental turbulence and the different behaviors. So they have a method to overcome those, like desire and hatred, those things. have a method to make the mind from turbulent, distorted kind of mental state become, eliminate those emotional turbulence and almost like thoughtlessness, and then achieve the meditation through these methods, then gone beyond of a mind, not any kind of a cognize anything, like going beyond of concept and beyond of thoughts, then these methods are available. And so these are another approach, also not to belong to Mahayana practice, what we say in three excellency. First, generate bodhicitta with these, that then it's important to think these are also good because you want to liberate yourself. It's not it's a good thing to do it, but for if it is a standard of a Mahayana view or suppose the Mahayana approach, then you have to have a greater kind of a vast mind, greater kind of a motivation. That is the not only thinking about yourself and also all sentient beings, even not a single sentient being kind of a rejected from your kind of altruistic mind, from your motivation, all dear to you. It's like a compassionate mother dear their only child. It's similar to all sentient beings. So this is not easy, or you can say maybe not our in the aggressive kind of under society, most people may not think this way, but if you can think, or if you recognize, you can you have a you can say this makes sense, because it doesn't matter how many numbers sentient beings there be, there are, or and no one wants suffering, and also each sentient beings try to kind of achieve something, happiness and peace. Try to and maybe they don't have a good methods or knowledge about how to do it. Maybe some do, some may not. But no one wants suffering. Everyone wants happiness. These are a general kind of everybody can understand. So based on this, then everybody deserve happiness. Everybody have a right to achieve happiness. So for us, we can say four immeasurable kind of aspirations are make sense and relevant. So these first excellency generate bodhicitta. You are on the path to reach enlightenment. Otherwise, if you have a, as we said before, worldly goal, godly goal, or the self-liberation goal, these are not directly kind of achieving the Buddhahood, and also not capable to help in level of Buddha's capacity to help sentient beings, or not fully enlightened. Other kind of motivations are not leads you to Mahayana path. And not only we think, oh, I want to be Mahayana, so I should kind of imitate motivation, and not from your own kind of sincerity. Then it's trainable after maybe this life, or even in few years in this life. Generally, you already have a genuine compassion, genuine aspiration to help sentient beings. For some people, maybe need several lives, but that is achievable, and you should kind of imitate, and all learnings are starting from imitation, and then gradually you can achieve it. For some people, in their past life, they already done many times, so easily accepted, and they're very happily playing. For some people, it's not easy and not habituated, so that one is the first. We always reciting the may all sentient beings be enjoy happiness and be secure of happiness, the cause of happiness. May sentient beings be free from suffering and the cause of suffering. May this is the first one. May all sentient beings enjoy happiness and the causes of happiness. That one is described as a loving kindness. You want them to have a better life in this worldly kind of life. And second one, may they be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. That one is considered as a compassion. If you want to take out roots of take over root of suffering and then fulfill the causes of happiness, then you should consider kind of a free from cyclic existence of samsara. Otherwise, they have always kind of suffering course. And then third, may they never be separate from great happiness, devoid of suffering. And that one is kind of a rejoice if they can kind of achieve happiness, leave suffering, achieve happiness. And that one is what you wish for. If some people are on that path, already achieved, and going to achieve, lose their situation, you will be very happy for them and rejoice. And may they grow in the great equanimity that is free from attachment and aversion. These are immeasurable rejoice and immeasurable equanimity, because of course, as a normal human being, we have attached towards close to one. We may don't like some people, or we consider as a threat or enemy or anything like that, cause you some pain and suffering or all of this. But in fundamental, we should remember, in life after life, or even in this life, suffering and happiness is mixed. One person can cause you some suffering and also give you some kind of a joyful feeling or happiness. From Mahayana teachings, we always remember, said, in endless of, in beginningless of life after, like a life of cyclic existence of life, everyone, once a while, being a kind of very close relation to you, even like a mother, today's kind of most kind person to you, it's like those relationship with you, any of sentient beings. So then it's called mother-like sentient beings. In this, it's important to always remember who we wish all sentient beings reach achieve Buddhahood. That is the aspiration. And then in the middle, it said, how all these concepts and all these different methods in worldly way or kind of spiritual way, all these are, kind of relative methods. If you wanted that relative methods or that relative benefit or relative experience become supreme, become kind of flawless, then you have to kind of dwell in the, as here last one is said, equanimity, and may that they dwell in a great equanimity that is free from attachment and aversion, that you should dwell in non-dual kind of a state. Second excellency is, if you, this part is very profound, very deep. If you have any kind of level of understanding of the spiritual kind of a practice, then this level is different. For some people, mindfulness is enough. For that part, it's kind of a other practice you don't know, then try to do mindfulness in the middle of a practice. And for some people, selflessness, these practices are essential, achieving kind of part of nirvana. And for other people, shunyata, or the emptiness of the phenomenon, these are important, subject to object, non-dual, these teachings. And for other people, the emptiness and the form are union, or luminous mind, understanding or awareness. It's very important. In this, you should do best to kind of, for Mahayana practice, of course, it's a, at least you should try to cultivate on the shunyata, not mindfulness, not only kind of selflessness or emptiness, the practice, but kind of great emptiness, object, subject, non-dual, these practice list. And then the end, your merit, your accumulation on your experiencing, you are training yourself body, speech, and mind, and you become kind of a lift up to your experience and understanding. You kind of progress. In those progress, you should kind of not thinking about oneself, think I'll or do this, I did this, and I gained this, and that's the only you focusing on yourself, because we dedicate this practice to other sentient beings, how in order to help other sentient beings, then we should achieve Buddhahood, that kind of motivation. So keep it to the end. And in the end, dedication also not focusing on the self and the attachment, but dedicated this merit accumulation towards the progress, the you should achieve Buddhahood, of course, but at the same time, why you should achieve Buddhahood, it's in for help other sentient beings in order to kind of have the more capability to help other sentient beings. So those are the third excellency, dedication. So with these three elements, then our practice, it's kind of more formal Mahayana path. In the beginning, bodhicitta. In the middle, it's a kind of emptiness cultivation of, and then the end, it's kind of dedicate merits to sentient beings to achieve enlightenment. These are important, very important. And then our class, we skipped few classes, two or three times, I think, due to I have to find the excuse. Some people, let's see. It's not a big problem, but I had some poisoned IV or poisoned oak on my skin, and then I did little kind of yard work, and after that, my skin have some problems, and then I didn't use in the first 1 week. I didn't find a good method, and I didn't know what is it. So that become a little bit difficult. And then later I found it, the cause, and then I used some kind of medicine, and now it's almost kind of recovering, full kind of recovery. So that is the reason.
Maybe I will remember that we are in. I will try to find this one. I think we are in body and the feelings and mind and phenomenon, these four practice of selflessness. We are on the practice of selflessness. Selflessness, it's a little bit, in the four beginners also especially, it's a little bit tricky, and not immediately you can think selflessness, it's right. Maybe through kind of some theory and study, you're going to have a deep kind of impact to you. But but at the same time, daily experience also kind of shows different kind of direction. That is, we are existed in this form of a physical body, and all elements of our sensation, feelings, and mental concept and knowledge, and these, and also what we kind of perceive that all phenomena. These are very strong support of something exist. So for practice of selflessness, these are, you have to have a detailed kind of analyzation, analyze these, how these phenomena really can rely on, or we can say we, because we grasp towards phenomena, because these are really existed. Otherwise, if you find nothing solid, independent exist things, then nothing you can rely on, or what you kind of finally you grasp towards something. You're increasing the emotion and the concept, but the concept also as concept itself, it's just a concept. If without something solid existence, concept is language and these. So we, this part is the practice of selflessness. So the, we already have read first part, from 78 verses over 148 page. that part is saying, it's we went last time, I think we used the surgery and talking about the these, if we, our leg, due to, if it's a surgery, plastic surgery, or these, you can change your skin, you can change your kind of muscle, muscle, I don't know, maybe, it's not totally changed. But if you say some people survive by not having their legs and arms, some people survive, even they have a liver or heart transfer, I'm not sure, but I heard some people say that those are existed, even in Germany, or they did something, head transfer or something, and then they survived this 10 hours or several hours, a few hours, I don't know. These medical capabilities there. And bones changes, and some artificial hands and legs there. So this concept is saying there is no such a, we can say body is there as a whole, but if you say this body is kind of a compound, other elements kind of putting together or working together, so you say this body, but which one is, there is no solid body you can pinpoint. If you analyze it, each part is different function, different capabilities. And then some people may say the brain, but you cannot say brain is body or other parts. so then it doesn't mean this concept we should remove or something. It's not like that. The concept, any concept can exist, can put, but if you see what we, our attachment usually come as a more broad concept, can be very detailed, but it means it's a concept, rely on the picture of my, the, what is it, concept. And we have a mental images, memories, the capability to calculate or artificialize it, or use different kind of a mental capability to describe and perceive something, experience. But this, if you form body aspect, we touch our own body and the body of others, these are normal. But if you use the knowledge to say how our attachment have a sound basis, or it's kind of just kind of more foolish kind of a way to experience in something. So then you should analyze all body, and from the leg, and then from the towards your all different parts of the body, as here it described. What we call the body is not a feet or shins, or I don't know. The body, likewise, it's not things or limbs, maybe these are, I don't know if this real sound, how to pronounce, but it is not the belly or indeed the back. And from the chest and arms, the body is not formed. The body isn't ribs or hands, armpits, shoulders, balls, and entrails. It is not the head, and it is not the throat. What is the body then, in all of these? And then Dhamma said, if body spreads itself, and with the membrane coincident, its parts indeed are present in those parts, but those doesn't body in self abide. So they said, if you say our body is the elements compound, so you shouldn't have a body without those compound elements, then we will say which elements we should put label of the body, because each element, they have their own identity, so you cannot overlap to that identity towards one thing. So if you can find one, but actually you cannot. So there is no base how to put those labels on the from gross or and on the investigated kind of a situation, you can put those labels. Otherwise, it's difficult, because we are so much the grasping our with our concept without any. If you say no mind, no pain, no mind. Or let's say, then you without any concept, what kind of aspirations or what kind of desire you have? So we reform those concept elements from the concept. So if we are trying to reverse or not reverse, maybe eliminate or reduce the attachment towards something fossil or illusion like situation we thought it's real and solid, then we analyze this concept and it makes sense, or there is a solid support of this concept. You analyze it, then you have a less, you're going to reduce the attachment. It's like some people also said, if one scientist who studies deep kind of understanding, studies quantum physics, then they will have an emotional impact because they find that nothing solid exists. And where things in subtle level appearance are much depends on mind, then they'll have a very different attitude towards the philosophy, the phenomenon, object phenomenons, objective, these matters. So it's the same. But if you, but if this 81, but if body single and entire is present in the hands and other members, however many parts there are, the hands and all the rest, you will find equal quantity of bodies. So that is kind of a saying. If we say body element, so-called body, it's as a entire kind of entirety or entire, and that entirety are kind of rested or presenting in the hand and other members, the different parts. And then we should say, because a body elements, you cannot even count so many elements in one body. So we say, oh, we have already kind of numberless body, equal quantity of body. You will find all kind of, you can put a body on each cell. And if you find scientifically, if you say that may be okay for some people, say, oh, this is a cell, is kind of a matter that exists. So, but if you go further details, it's very difficult because these are explanation is coming later. But for other people think, I'm just one body, I'm not nobody, normally people not perceiving this body as a kind of a countless body combined or something, one body. Not many people thinking that way, this way. And then if body is not outside or within this part, how is it then residing in the its members, and since it is not other than its parts, how can you say that it's that it is exists at all? So this is important. It's a body is not outside or within its parts. There's no essential existence nature of this element, whether it's a entirety or parts, then where is body? And without these parts, is there entirety? So without parts, is there body or entirety? So you can also say difficult to make it as a existence. So not only when this body, but anything matters, it's like that. They have no real nature, essential existence, nature of existence by independent, solid kind of a existence. If they have a one nature that is a existent, they will exist forever. Or you can say that nature cannot do some use for against their own nature, but because of everything matters, no nature, nature is emptiness, nothing real nature. So they can kind of follows cause and the condition to use and change. So that is the general saying. They have they're not in other members or not in the entirety or single kind of part. So if you point a view of entirety or parts, you cannot make it sense to say there is a body. And then there is no body, it is through illusion. With regard to hand and other part, the body as a notion is conceived. Just as account of its specific shape, a pile of stone is taken from man. Here we're saying, because everything is an illusion, so the concept existed by just have an easy kind of for communication or in level of deeply kind of thought, deeply investigated kind of use. So for just life and life communication and a normal kind of feeling, that is okay, you have a body, you have everything, you thought seems solid, and there are elements you can study, bodies, sophisticated machine you can do, then you think that is a kind of real and a real existence existed here. But we are not, in Buddhist teaching, also important to say, we are saying there is no solid real nature, but the form we don't reject, because you can see, you can hear, and you are using this current moment, this body, we can use this words, but this is a kind of illusory kind of described with description. And it's like they use this example, said it's like a stone, some shape looks like human being. So similarly for use, you can use a stone, human being like stone, to call this kind of a stone man or something. But it's a stone, not a human being. Similarly, this body is kind of a, if you go deeper, there's nothing called body, nothing solid kind of existence of this body. And then, as long as the conditions are assembled, the body will appear to be a man. As long as all the parts, like wise, present, the body will appear in therein. So that is saying, although in the ultimate kind of level, there's no real existence, but for relative level, there are causing the conditions, and these parts of a body can make a kind of whole as a entirety, as a body. It's a kind of a way to communicate, and also a way to misunderstanding things. Then these relative forms we are live with. And then this is the first part. Let's see. And then more detail is here. Likewise, since it is a group of fingers, and the hands itself does not exist as such, and so it is with the fingers made of joints, and the joints themselves consist of many parts. And now we're going to read one more. These parts themselves were breaking down into particles, and the particles divided according to direction. These fragments too lack in partless parts. That is the same partless parts. It's the four school of a Buddhist kind of a philosophical tradition or schools. The lower tradition, they claim that matters have the partless parts. They are like space. Thus, even particle have no existence. For Mahayana, they reject this idea about partless part. From forming this universe in Buddhist teaching, also have these theories, said partless, space elements have a two kind of type. One type is not movable, but they have a kind of a more stable parts of elements, or particles, you can say, use these words, maybe. And another space elements or space particles can move, can change their location. Then other kind of elements. These are detailed, described in Kalachakra Tantra, and a very sophisticated saying how the universe forms from kind of a space element, or you can say almost like an empty, or and then become a wind and air, and these pull or these kind of a energy about very subtle, very, very subtle elements, and then become more grosser, and then become kind of temperatures or heat, and then heat and the elements more become kind of earth elements or water elements first, I think, and then rest of not liquid kind of become left behind. It's an earth element. These, but here I was saying, if you say body is a partialless part, a partless part element, then it's so difficult. If you say partless parts, then if this partless have any kind of a shape, or can, if you say partless part is like a zero, if you can say zero plus many zero and equals to zero, it's the same, they cannot become big. For example, we see mountains and a kind of a planet or kind of woods. These, you can see they are growing, or sometimes they're formed in this way. It's from subtle, very small elements, but seemingly they are kind of capable to compile to each other and become bigger. And then, you see, if this is a kind of non-dividable partless, then cannot grow in that way. Cannot grow in this situation. Or that is not the subtlest kind of elements, because if you, there is a kind of a directions, locations, and these particles, if they have a location, if they have a direction, the four kind of a six or ten directions, then suppose these able to divide again from those directions, as long as they have a combined capabilities and directions, so they are not fundamental kind of elements or particles. So it is kind of said, if there is a direction, then it's not a partless part. If there is no direction, how could that kind of form from small to big kind of collective kind of form, big, it's possible. And for one particle, if they have six directions, generally we said if you can have to touch other elements, you have six elements, six directions. And then these elements will become a form as a mountain, and become these particles can be formed as a big. But if you say the other way, six elements can have it's divisible, that the one particles have six elements, the six directions can be in one element, then that means also mountains, can be kind of a shrink or collapsed into one kind of a particles. So six to one, one to six, these kind of a back and forth elements. So from Mahayana point of view, where this analyzing the argument is saying, there is a, if you say fingers, and these are made by hand, for example, finger making the hands, and the hand also if is a part of body from the level of a small, you can say, each finger, arms, or this body, all rely on these small elements to support this big machine or large machine. Not, you can say not big or too big, but it's one body. and then these small parts can be divided into the particles. And the particle, if there is a partless part, these, then whether you go to say cannot to have a these kind of a, there's no solid kind of a existence of this part of a body, the elements, particles. So it said if there's a direction, then that's not the smallest kind of a way to do it. If you go to smallest things, then cannot form these materials big in large scale. So it's because of these contradictions is there. It's because all phenomena basically it's an illusion. So you have many kind of philosophical questions in this way. There's either one or the other is not totally right. That's that. So in relative, every element of this body from medical or scientific point, these description and the purpose, use and the functions we recognize and we have no problem. But we are saying nature of all these elements, then they are not talking about the not denying existence of relative existence, but also saying how this relative concept hanging on the ultimate level. They're only relative concept and relying on the cause and the condition and temporary, momentarily, they have no solid kind of existence. So this is our one thing. And these parts themselves were broken down, this I already said. And then how, what is the purpose with the kind of talking about all of this? Because we try to reduce desire, too much desire, and thinking, strong belief of a body as a kind of a solid existence. And our craving based on this solidity or solidness, many emotions based on this kind of beauty or ugly or maybe not those kind of extreme feeling, but so many feelings about and connections with this body, so we are trapped or sometimes even in this concept and not fully knowing the nature of this body. So reduce the desire or craving is the purpose about the analyzing this. Of course, it's through the deepening wisdom of our emptiness. So it here says, all form, therefore, is like a dream. And who will be attached to it? Who those investigated, the body in this way has no existence. What therefore is male is male, and what is a female? So female attached to or have a craving desire towards man, or men have a desire to the women. These are normal. As we know now, it's more complicated in this society. And I think not only maybe now, ancient time, maybe have this gay or this, but mostly in, I think when I was in Tibet, I didn't even kind of have this concept about gay or this are immoral and feel very awkward, very different. When I live in San Francisco and more people are men and women or hanging on this or the men, seemingly some people have some kind of a relationship, and then these you can see on the street there are kind of taking their hands together or something. But in the, especially men, some people have this kind of appearance, I still feel a little nervous myself. It's interesting. But it's a kind of not good to judge others. And later on, many Buddhist teachers also saying, those gay people are their own business. We shouldn't kind of judge them. And also some churches, I think, accepting those gay to go to prayer or something like that. It's more open-minded, some the religious groups towards them. There are also maybe many issues of these that is are not our this topic today. So, but here saying male and female is talking about kind of opposite sex kind of things, and they are interested about it. And then we'll continue maybe a little bit. That the first one is a body. So through this thinking or analyze these topics, these content, then we should have a more kind of thoughts on the body. And then next is about the feeling. If suffering itself is truly real, why is joy not together quenched thereby? If present pleasure is real, then why will pleasant tests not to conform comfort and amuse a man? It's a question mark. Also, my tone is not right. Not to comfort and amuse a man in agony or something like that. So forgive me, this may not correct pronunciation, I think. Nonetheless, I will make the meaning for a meaning correct, then it's the same. we will continue. If the feeling of falls to be experienced through beings overwhelmed by something stronger, how can feeling really be ascribed to what which lacks the characters of a being felt? So this feelings, we're going to have four points. Talking about these form, their feeling, nature of feeling, and the cause of feeling, and the resultant of feeling, and we're going to person who feels these feelings, that kind of four levels to discuss this topic. So that is some ancient Indian philosophical traditions. They are saying feelings and the pain on the pain and the happiness, suffering, these are existed. There is a nature of existence. When we're talking about emptiness, we are talking about all elements as elements that are lacking of intrinsic nature. So feeling, also people will easily to touch different feelings. My feeling, your feeling, and what you feel about outside, inside, or people are following feelings to do many things. Maybe sometimes it's illogical and even against the law and norms, but they do something because they have these feelings. So feelings are very strong, and sometimes it can kidnap oneself and do great or worst things like that, those things. So feelings have their power. Sometimes people cannot use their wisdom or experience, knowledge, they cannot control the feeling. So feeling controls people's mind and become anger, become the kind of dissatisfied, not forgiving, or burst into tear, or even tend to suicide. Many things from feelings. So feelings are also, if you use in a negative, destructive way, it's quite dangerous. And then these feelings, actually there's no such a solid independent existence. It's just a cause and a condition with a different condition of your own mind, basic views, then you have a different feelings. And also your own karma, very important, habitual tendencies are playing in key roles. We should at least use the wisdom sore of emptiness to penetrate, breaking through the feelings, and then make it more, not to drive you in bad behavior or drive you crazy, but we can use proper way, use this feeling, not to hurt yourself and others. So when you feel something, not to touch it, to think this person hurt my feeling, that one hurt my feeling. I think even in the state level, some countries saying, oh, you are such a one person, you're doing things are hurt my whole nation's feeling, or something like that. I don't think those are existed situation, but some people angry big due to some situation, so they use these words, say, you hurt my country, so feeling, people feeling, or for my citizen, or something like that. So here is one thing is saying, some people think feelings are truly existed. Some philosophical schools actually, they believe feelings are real. Feelings are important and also real. So many people also, even kind of wisdom guidance or some view, some saying important or famous, some saying also say follow your heart and don't follow your mind or brain or something. Follow your feeling or something. These are, many people like it to hear these. But according to Dharma, they say your feeling it's also illusion. You don't trust too much. That doesn't mean we don't really don't care about our feeling at all, but we don't misuse it and misunderstand it, feeling that it's a kind of we're saying. And in this is especially Buddhist, some philosophical argument is good to argue with the Sangha philosophy in India, and this also too. In Sangha-ism, there are very large kind of a philosophical tradition, but some have this basic view saying, external things can, feelings are existed truly. And that's why when we were close and when we eat some sweet, we felt kind of warm. When we wear clothes, when we eat sugar or something, we feel sweet. And if we enjoy fire, we feel kind of a peace, for burning wood or these kind of, what's it called, fireplace or something. So they think feeling is there. And then, Madhyamika tradition, they were saying, if there's a kind of realness in feeling, then why these feelings are always changing from happy to suffering or feel pain and then feel pleasure. So it seems like that feelings are relative and then depend on situation. There is no kind of a solid feeling there. And then use these, say, when you feel kind of inside, when you feel, it's a feel, first we're saying these feelings rely on the facilities and the comfort environment and also food or sensory kind of pleasures, these are not real. There is no solid kind of sound existence. Because even you say clothes make you warm and sugar make you sweet or something, but if you say one person feeling not well, then if they say seeing beautiful things, eating some good food doesn't comfort this person much. And if one person in a fear of certain circumstances or very, very sad, then if you have a great kind of a place or wear clothes, good clothes, and eat very kind of a, how do you say, high end or the kind of a food, and then use these somebody dancing or playing music, you don't have a this interested to even to hear and to wanted to hear or wanted to feel enjoy or something, because you are in fear and the other people are peaceful, then you have a no in not enjoying this. So it's one person in the suffering, they don't in the facilities or these food or these or cannot assist their feeling continuing in the good. So the external support of feelings are not solid. They were using this. But Songya philosophy, these philosopher people will say, that's not because the feeling is not is kind of real, because different feelings have a big and small. If you have a small kind of enjoyment, but you have a big suffering, then the small or relatively the partial the elements of enjoyment is feel joy feeling. That is kind of a shy away or kind of becomes small, not because they are completely not there or there's in the nature of existence city still there. So they use when sun rises, then stars, the light of a shine of stars I kind of not cannot see, but doesn't mean stars not shining. Continue shining, but because sunlight is too strong, so they are kind of rest the behind. It's the same if you drink soup, very sour soup. Even you put small spoon of sugar cannot defeat that sourness. So then that applies saying. Existence of feeling, the joy feeling and suffering or pain, these pleasant or unpleasant, non-pleasant feelings are still have their own nature of existence, because they are big and small, they change the volume of big or small, these. But this also rejected by Majjhimika and said, if this feelings, and then this is the thing about if this is a reducible feeling from gross and subtle or big or small, and then from the theoretically they can kind of how to say this is relative concept to reduce and then growing and become small and big. But the small, you cannot perceive. Then what we're talking about, feelings, your feeling power cannot perceive. Is that still called feeling? If you say you cannot perceive the light, then for your organs, the light is not perceivable in those moments. In daytime, you cannot see star. Then its feeling is still there. Cannot say feeling is there, you cannot see. Similarly, if one sugar put in sour kind of soup, the sourness is already covered. You only feel taste of sour, you don't feel the sweetness. Then that that feeling is not formed. So because of feelings, the nature, essential nature is empty. So these change and these the diverse is possible, not because they are solid existence. So you should always feel. If you without not you cannot detect by your organ, by your feeling, then it's out of reach. You cannot say there are still kind of a nature of a feeling there. So this is a Majjhimika. To answer this, and perhaps you say that only subtle pain remain. Its gross form has now been overmastered, or rather, it is felt as a mere pleasure. But what is the subtle still remain itself. So it's a Sangya philosophy, philosophical tradition that said, if you cannot detect your feeling, it's not saying these feelings are these. You cannot perceive anything. Doesn't mean you don't have a feeling. If you see kind of a important, the big, the here is the original words is overwhelmed, mastered being. Because it's a grosser form has now been overmastered. So perhaps you say only subtle pain remain. Subtle pain remain because it's a kind of a, you have a very grateful, joyful feelings. If you say, oh, you didn't see your friends for 10 years, suddenly there you meet on the street. But at the same time you fall down and you hurt your knees a little bit. And then because you overjoyed, very happy to see your friends, you don't feel much about your pain. Without seeing your friend, maybe you felt that pain is bigger. So the bigger happiness will kind of overwhelm. So you overmastered your small kind of feelings are not recognized much. Or it said, if you have something very happy feeling, if you have a good test result, if you are a student, and then when you got A, you also same time bit by mosquitoes, and then you don't feel kind of sad because of mosquito bite you. It's similarly as said before. If you study Dharma, listen very closely and attentionally, use full attention, then you forget about some cold and warm and hungry thirst and feel pain of your knees or something. These when you focus on something interesting, happy moment, happens. So these are some argument from Sangya philosophy. And then Madhyamika tradition will say, the pain and the pleasure, pleasant or unpleasant, these feelings have no real nature. No, it's emptiness of the nature of emptiness there. Because of that, everything depends on causing the conditions. There's no lacking of intrinsic existence. So everything more pain and less pleasure, more pleasure, less pain. These are happening. And comparatively, you felt if you hurt you a little bit by needles, you feel maybe uncomfortable. But compared to one person hurt by knife, then you felt the needle is nothing. You feel like a relief suffering from comparative kind of thinking. So it said when you kind of use fire to boil ice, then bigger ice still there, but when small ice is melted first. So similarly, this small pain or this you don't feel much when you have a bigger one. So, but of course, even Buddhist kind of philosophical tradition and with the versus Sangya tradition, Sangya will hold their own view. This is a kind of not saying, this is just a comparative kind of argument. Sangya will continue to say, well, subtle level of pain and the pleasure will remain. And it's not their have a no nature, but they're because of their become subtle. So this is these feelings. So they use some kind of a different. The key problem here with these two philosophical traditions is one said there is a no real nature because everything is empty. Emptiness, it means they have a, they can appear, but fundamentally or absolute point of view, there are no any kind of real existence. Nature, any real nature of existence is not there. Anything, any phenomenon, not only body, but feeling, but other kind of mind, thoughts, these or thing. You can also, actually, you can feel it when you, many thoughts appears in your mind, but in next moment, they are kind of, it's kind of illusion. So, and then, Madhyamika, this tradition will say, so it's like a name, it's a concept, a label, that is kind of the working in our mind and then help to describe our feelings. And then if you, the subtle kind of pain on the unpleasant feeling cannot describe as a pleasure because of the relative nature, although they are kind of changing, but we cannot say for some people maybe you have a very big pain when you, the pain reducing from 10 to 7, then you feel happy. It's not because of the pain still remaining 7 level of 7, but you are happy about that reduce from 10. This you can describe it by concept, but actually these pleasure and pain are relative and dependent on the cause and the conditions. So same to all other phenomena, they have a lacking of any existence, of nature of existence. This, so because, if because it is a opposite of pleasure, pleasant, discomfort falls into manifest. It is not the claim that it's a feeling, no more than a mental implantation. So then use the very traditional Buddhist kind of a teaching said one drop or one bowl of water seen by 6 class of beings, each class of a being have a different feelings about this water. So if you, one person who seen a different person seen one thing, one phenomenon, same phenomenon, but they feel different things. If you are a very clean person, and some people are very dirty feeling, or always live in dirty environment, or you think it's dirty environment, then they have a different kind of feelings of pleasure and pain. For example, in some Brahmin families, they are have a very, very kind of a sophisticated way to purify their body and using incense, water, and many holy kind of activities. And for other kind of Indian group of practice, Aguri, these are eating human fleshes, so they don't feel that is dirty, but for other Brahmins, they feel terrified. And similarly, if you see a beautiful kind of a human being, for bhikkhus and bhikkhunis who practice about this renunciation practice with impure kind of a practice, then they felt these are kind of nothing kind of beautiful, nothing kind of desirable. But for people who have a strong desire and attachment, a craving, then they saw this kind of a nice kind of looking, they were raising the desire. So similarly, one bowl of water seen by goddess and the gods, these realms, they seen as a nectar of a kind of a painless nectar or deathless nectar. It's a seen by human being, just water, and even a human being level, there are different groups of scientific, they will see kind of a through chemical kind of elements. Some people, if you use in factory, something fishermen, and then different, feel different. Some people in thirst, they use, want to drink. Some people have a dirty water, a dirty clothes, they may use wash to wash. And for animals, some like fish, their water is their home. So they have a kind of a, have a different, relation with water. It's said hungry ghost seen them as a, kind of a eatable and, but also difficult to digest. Things like that. For hell beings, they're seen as a like a hot lava or something burning them out. So we're saying the one thing have many dimensions. That means each have their own karmic images. So they have no essential nature of these things, but different beings have a different kind of karma. We think they have a one nature, that is wrong, we said. The antidote is meditation and analyze, analysis, absorption, growing in fields of their investigation, is indeed the food and the sustains of yogis. Mm-hmm. For this, it said we should, in order to not only conceptually understand, but spiritually overcome and gone beyond, kind of a normal behavior and understanding, then we should cultivate emptiness or special insight practice of meditation, and to reverse or transform our deep kind of grasp behavior of grasping things, and those can cause many trouble and the result is suffering. And we use our, raise our wisdom, use kind of a scientific, or we can say more objective kind of a investigation use, and then these wisdom become yogis, kind of a spiritual food or nourishment of your own spiritual kind of accomplishments. And that we can, through this, not too much touch towards body and feelings, we already successfully reject many negative behavior, destructive emotions, and many misunderstanding, and many kind of a useless kind of burnout, and we don't want suffering as long as other people also saying based on this, we should know the ignorance should use wisdom to cure. And if we have the first step is to kind of cultivate renunciation, the blockage or obscuration of renunciation is many feelings and grasping towards body is very big. We are kind of circling in this box. So any person, doesn't matter you have money or you have no kind of a position and you have your suffering in illness or anything like that, but once you understand the wisdom of nature, this emptiness, and this great insight and view, you are not anymore suffering by just kind of how much you gain or how high position you have or what the condition of your body will not bother too much to you. You enjoy your kind of, you are liberated from those things, even curse some relatively difficult situation, but your mind will free from those thoughts. The opposite is the same when you have a name or a high position or any success or young or something, but if you not have a fully understand about your own body and feelings, you are trapped and imprisoned in your own kind of a creation of those concepts. So you cannot enjoy freedom of your own kind of a existence of mind and body. And these. So we're going to stop here and then to dedicate our merit dedication prayers. As the courageous Manjushri understood, and just like Shyamadabhadra as well, I now dedicate all this virtue following their example, one and all. Since dedication has been praised as a spring by all the victorious one throughout three times. All of the fundamental virtues I have are fully dedicated to the practicing discipline. By this merit, may all attain omniscience and defeat the enemy wrongdoing from the storming waves of birth, old age, sickness, and death. From the ocean of existence, may all beings be free. By this virtue, may all beings complete the collections of merit and wisdom, and attain the two secret kayas that is arises from merit and wisdom. May all all lives of glorious masters be secure. And may all beings enjoy happiness and peace. May we all accumulate merit and wisdom, purifying all negative karma and sweetly reach enlightenment. Thank you very much.